Return to Camp Blood, episode 50. Jason lives? This episode is brought to you by Friday the 13th franchise.com.
Jesus Christ. Jason's alive. He killed my friend, now he's coming for me.
He's got a death curse.
Jason's a legend.
I'm Mrs. Warren, an old friend of the Christies.
Jason belongs in hell.
You're doing the biggest stay here.
Never come back again.
You see, Jason was my son, and today is his birthday.
Welcome to another episode of Return to Camp Blood. I'm your host, Chris, joined by my fellow counselors, Eric.
What's up, y'all?
And Bobby Horse Dick Hill.
Oh my God, you actually said it. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, strange thing. We got an iTunes review from somebody named Bobby Horse Dick Hill, and I think it was you.
Allow me to set the record straight that I had completely forgotten that I created a nickname because I don't access iTunes that often. And when I do, it's just punching a password to download an app. Never once has it said, oh, hey, it's a security question. What was your nickname?
You picked a good one.
Yes. And for informational purposes only, he wrote that review before he appeared on the show.
Amen.
Anyway, so I'm not going to lie. We're coming into tonight pretty unprepared.
Yes, you can say that one more time.
I'm not gonna though. Oh. But yeah, I have like for times like this, which don't happen very often, I have like a list of like blog posts that I save, you know, that we could maybe talk about one day. And you know, we've all had a busy past couple weeks, so getting the show together for Friday was just, it was not happening the way we normally do it.
But we still had fun on that. That was great. I had a blast. I don't know about y'all.
On what?
You're talking about Friday, right?
Well, yeah, Friday we did some Facebook Live stuff where we did some movie commentary. So anyway, tonight we're going to talk about this article posted on Movie Pilot last year, I guess. It's titled Fan Theory: Jason Could Have Saved His Mother From Dying. I'm going to pretty much like read probably through a lot of this. Please disregard the grammatical errors. They're not ours. I'm just going to get right into it. Okay, so Jason Voorhees could have saved his mother from dying in Friday the 13th. And over 158 teenagers. Got to stop you there, sir. 180 what?
183, I do believe, is the correct number.
Anyway, probably wouldn't have been slaughtered over the years either. But in order for you to understand how this is possible, we have to go all the way back. So he's taken us back to 1957, where Mrs. Voorhees is the camp cook for Crystal Lake, and Jason is off minding his own business. Unfortunately, he isn't being supervised and ended up drowning. But the funny thing is, dun-dun-dun, he never died. That's right. Jason Voorhees never died after he supposedly drowned in the murky waters of Crystal Lake. I find that weird that they would call that he would. I mean, in every movie, the water is not that crystal clear, but they call it Crystal Lake. Why are the waters murky?
That's a good, very, very valid point.
And anyway, his body was never found because he already had escaped to shore. From there, he learned how to adapt and survive in the woods. Let's stop there for a second and talk about that. I think that that's a thing that we have put forth many times on this show, which a lot of people disagree with us on that point. But, you know, at the same time, when you take all the movies into consideration, that's really the only thing that makes sense.
It's the only thing that makes sense is that he never drowned. And I've brought this up on quite a few episodes, actually, and I always get shot down, that it very well is feasible that Mama Voorhees was just batshit crazy and had some strong disdain for people that were treating her hydrocephalic mongoloid pinhead son
I mean, yeah, you could say she was kind of crazy. I mean, going around killing teenagers. Yeah, it's only a little crazy.
And I mean, yeah, that's not, you don't do that.
I mean, only on Tuesdays.
Well, I mean, if in fact she's just as crazy as what she portrays at the beginning, which would be Pamela's tale. I mean, for all intent and purpose, when she's, I'm referencing the comic and the backstory that she talks about her and Elias and her being pregnant with Jason and so forth and so on. She definitely displays some psychotic tendencies.
A little bit.
Just a smidge. And it wouldn't be so far out of whack to see her beloved only son being ridiculed and mocked and isolating them both in a shack in the woods. And her finally just snapping when Steve Christie goes to open the camp up in Friday the 13th, 1980.
My only issue with that is, I mean, Jason being a kid, I mean, you could say this for any kid. What kid suffers that traumatic of an event that he doesn't want to go find his mom? I mean, our natural reaction to a lot of things is to seek comfort through our parents.
Well, sure. I mean, but you got to think, though, he's obviously, in addition to his physical problems, you know, he's obviously also mentally handicapped in some way. So, it could have been that he wound up on the other side of the lake and, you know, didn't realize how to get back, or there's a million different things that you could say about it. The only contention I have with it is, how does a kid who is, what is he at this point? 11, I think.
11. Yeah.
Something like, he's around 11, how he could survive on his own. Especially in the mentally diminished state that he is in. That's really the only contention I have with it. But,
well, you obviously haven't. See, everybody forgets about his lumberjack father that taught him everything he knew by the time he was 7.
I don't know that Elias was a lumberjack, but you know, it's whatever. We're theorizing here, so I'll take it, I guess.
I'm just being an idiot.
Hey, this is not the right show for that, sir.
Oh, that's right, it's not. I feel like there's an odd number of idiots that should.
Oh wait, there's 3 on now. Anyway, inside joke. So his mother was obviously unaware of him being alive and goes on to commit horrendous crimes in and around Camp Crystal Lake for years. Okay, we get that. Obviously, that's what happened. So fast forward to 1980, the setting of the first film. Jason, now a grown man, finds his mother and watches from within the darkness as his mother picks off each camp counselor until finally Mrs. Voorhees herself is brutally murdered. I cannot imagine that had Jason found his mother, that he would just sit there and wait. It had been a considerable amount of time, so maybe he wasn't sure that it was his mom. I don't know. I mean, I guess to an extent that might make sense.
Well, that's because Pamela was abusive.
See, now, we did get a listener mail about that, and actually, I think. I want to say it was from Jeremy, who hosts the Geekish Cast, presented that theory, and we shot it down pretty thoroughly.
Oh, well, then let me stop right there before I make an idiot of myself.
In the reboot, I know the writer of this article, and I think his name is Khalil Wright. I think that's how you say his name. He is talking about this from within the framework of the 1980 film, but I think that the 2009 reboot actually puts this idea into better practice. Although I don't like the fact that he's a young kid when he watches Pamela get her head cut off, he should have been a little considerable. He should have been with, you know, into his 20s.
We could say like 21, 20.
I mean, well, we 25, you can,
I think.
You can figure out the exact age he would have been in 1980, but I can't remember it off the top of my head. The reboot does a better job of presenting that, except for the fact, like I said, that it presents him as a little kid. I don't know that you could even say that in the 1980 film that he even saw anything that happened. I mean, maybe he did. But for all we know, he could have come, you know, he could have come to the spot later. Well, no, that's not even true, because he is out for vengeance against Alice. So obviously, well, yeah, obviously he saw what happened. So I guess I'm wrong on that point.
When are you and, right?
Shut up.
And he could, I mean, you know, say that they were disconnected some way and that Jason lived and spent time away from his mother. And the way that Mama acts, Jason was raised with an Oedipus complex. And it wouldn't have taken Alice cutting off her head to spark that mommy love. But I mean, it could have, but then it would negate Mrs. Voorhees's passion for her son.
Yeah. Well, and that's something that he sort of touches on in the next, you know, in the closing of this article. He says, "You mean to tell me Jason watched his mom the whole night and didn't try to once meet her face to face? The fact that he never died in the first place makes every horrible thing Mrs. Voorhees did almost pointless. If he had just reunited with her, she'd still be alive. He probably wouldn't have died in the later sequels, and over wrong number 158 people would still be alive. But on the flip side, Jason wouldn't have become the slasher he is today if he didn't let his mom get her head chopped off." I take issue with Jason being in any position to help his mother at that point, because it seems like if he was a party to any of that situation, it was at the tail end of it. I mean, because what son wouldn't try to help his mother in that situation? So this is a lot of conjecture that, like,
well, that's what leads me to believe that. You know, again, I know y'all said the theory was shot down pretty hard, but that's why I believe that he was abused as a kid, and maybe it was just Pamela, like, over time just snapping. And again, this is all speculation. So
yeah, but I mean, I think I mentioned this when we were talking, you know, about that email we got before. If that were the case, why make a shrine to his mom? Why bring Alice's dead body, you know, as sort of like a sacrifice to her?
Well, because, well, what
why do any of that? Why, like, his whole reason for being is to exact vengeance for his mother.
Well, because that's because I think that, again, deep down, yeah, he did, you know, he did feel some type of way for her. He loved her. Of course, it's his mom. But even still, that him waiting, him not helping, was kind of his way of a payback for everything that could have happened to him. If it did happen to him. And yeah, the shrine was after the fact. He was like, oh, well, dang, I didn't really think that I would really miss her that much. So now I'm going to honor her memory. But even still, that's why I believe he didn't do it. If that's what we're talking about, that's why I believe he didn't try to help her.
You know what? Honestly, when you put it that way, it kind of makes more sense. I mean, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's just my feeling on it. Again, I don't know how anybody else might feel.
I mean, it was just, there's so many theories that could have been to continue the series on the path that it went in, especially in the Human Jason trilogy, where they really reinforced it. I mean, with Jenny and even the pop-up in part 3 of Jason's mom. And I mean, and we know that he's shocked by sentiment. Otherwise, little Corey Feldman would have had a machete in his bald ass head instead of puking everywhere.
All right, gentlemen, let's get into some listener mail. But before we do, I want to play an audio clip from a show that one of our old military buddies does.
Hi, this is Ricardo from the Ricardo Fantastico Show and Scream at the Screens. If you like podcasts as much as I do, go to astropandaproductions.com today and check out the Ricardo Fantastico Show and Scream at the Screens for the number one comedy podcast and an outside-the-box look at movie reviews. Hope to see you there.
All right, so we actually got a a few listener mails this time. The first one is from listener Jay Irvin. He says, I just finished up episode 30 about Jason 6. I'm amazed that you guys didn't show up more love than you did. In my opinion, it is the absolute best Jason made. Jason Voorhees is a killer at a summer camp for kids. Part 6 is the only movie that actually has a summer camp with kids. And
yeah, that's
hang
yeah,
on. Yeah. And as a side note, me being in my mid-30s, I'm very familiar with the late rapper Eric Eazy-E Wright. The main host of your podcast, Chris, totally sounds like rapper Eazy-E. I fucking disagree with that.
And I disagree with that, too, only because I have a severe a horrible taste in my mouth.
And your co-hosts have the names Eric and E. Your podcast is number one, and I tried the others on iTunes. So I do not feel like I sound like Eazy-E, sir.
Actually, now that you talk, I don't know. Now that I'm not looking at your face.
Hey, he's short in stature, and that's his only disguise.
Shut up.
Rolling down the street in my minivan.
Yes, I drive a minivan. What of it? So, yes, we disagree that that part 6 is the best. The reason why I dislike part 6 so much is not necessarily that the story was bad. I mean, because you're right, it is one of the only ones where Jason's actually at the camp. But I did not like the universal monster, idea for, Jason at all.
I don't have anything bad to say about, Friday the 13th Part 6, Jason Lives, other than the fact that I wish that I would have showed Jason Lives, Friday the 13th Part 6, a lot more love than what I did whenever we initially recorded the show. I didn't look at it from an objective standpoint, and I agree. It's a continuation of the Jason Voorhees story. Not that any of us particularly love Zombie Jason, albeit for a couple of us. And that's what I think that we focused on. I know I did more so, and I'll let that bias my opinion of the movie, was that it wasn't human Jason. And another contention that we all seemed to share was that Mr. Matthews' portrayal of Tommy Jarvis wasn't what we would have loved to have seen. We would have loved to have seen a continuation of Mr. Shepard's version of Tommy Jarvis. And it's not really so much the material that's in part 6 as much as the characters lacked what they were true to form. And I wish they would have continued with more of a traumatized Tommy Jarvis than a fully functioning, guy that had females on his brain instead of a constant fight or flight mechanism. I mean, he went from 24 lines in part 5, A New Beginning, to, monologues and a tremendous amount of dialogue. And that's not the way that I would have liked to have seen the continuation of the Jarvis trilogy.
Agreed. We also got a listener mail from former co-host Oz, who has moved on to greener pastures. He says, hey guys, just wanted to drop a line and say good episode discussing the Chris Rick relationship. I too think that Rick was pretty much a douche and could have been more sensitive to the fact that it was Chris's first time back to the cabin since her running with Jason.
I'm going to need people to stop hating on Rick.
There was one detail I think you guys missed, and that's that they definitely continue to see each other since the attack, because Rick states, Chris, I think you've gained some weight since last summer. So they obviously had continued their relationship to some degree. Granted, that piggyback ride may not have been the ride Rick was looking for, but being back at the camp Being back at the cabin could easily trigger flashbacks and memories that were traumatic. She didn't totally blow him off. He could have at least given her some space and time. Chris didn't seem to be as easy as the Mary Jo Conrad. Yes, that is a detail that we missed, and we talked at length about it in the, you know, after we got finished recording that one. But I still don't think that takes away from the fact that he was a total utter fucking asshole in that movie.
You just don't understand Rick. the complex design of Rick is so deep that Jacques Cousteau couldn't even reach the bottom.
James Myrick, hopefully that's how you say it. Hey guys, I'm a loyal listener of the show and I absolutely love it. I just wanted to say, in regards to the possible Friday the 13th TV show, what do you guys think about it being on MTV? They've already done a slasher type show with Scream. I mean, in the pilot episode, we see a severed head and see a girl get her throat slashed. So they didn't have a problem with violence. I would love to hear your thoughts about this. Also, in the TV show, who would you cast as Crazy Ralph?
What's that you say?
You're going to Camp Blood, ain't you? You'll never come back again. It's got a death curse.
Thanks, James, for getting that in there for us.
Yes, thank you.
Well, I think MTV would not do that because of the thing you already said. They have Scream. All things being equal, though, sure. I mean, I guess MTV would be a fine home for it because of Scream, but I think that Scream is why MTV would not be a home for it, in my opinion.
And MTV Scream, at least the first series, was very much a love note to the entire slasher genre. I mean, the Brandon James mask flat out is a old hockey mask. It's a 1960s hockey mask made in some reference to Ghostface, which comes from Edgar Munch's The Scream. And there's so many love notes and throwbacks to the series. I don't know that MTV would pick it up or be accepting of it, since there's so much of all of the slasher movies in the series. And I give them total props for maintaining an entire season of a slasher film, which is known to have a slow plot building first part with some random kill. Then when you get to the middle sequence, the tension's building, setting up the final chase scene, and it's over with. And they've managed to keep it going. And I kudos to MTV. If they would pick that up, if they would pick up Friday the 13th, I would have no problem with that. I mean, I'd love to see anybody. I would just love to see it made so we have more stuff to talk about, quite frankly.
When it comes to MTV picking it up, I believe that MTV shouldn't pick it up because I'm all for MTV going back to music.
That's fair.
Very fair.
So who would you want to see play Crazy Ralph?
Randy fucking Quaid.
Randy fucking Quaid.
Danny Bonaducci.
Yeah, Randy Quaid, man. I could totally see him playing Crazy Ralph all day.
I will concur.
Yeah, that we did not rehearse that before the show.
No, I have to disagree. Danny Bonaducci, I think, would be a great Crazy Ralph because Danny Bonaducci is crazy anyway.
Well, have you ever seen Randy Quaid ever?
I don't think I have.
Yeah. Merry Christmas, shitter's full.
He plays crazy people in movies, and he's fucking crazy in real life. So I think the least crazy character he ever played was in Independence Day, and he's still kind of kooky in that one too.
Yes, he is.
All right, so we have a couple of iTunes reviews I want to read. Sans Bobby Horsedick Hills review.
Hey, what was wrong with my review?
You're part of the show. You don't fucking count anymore.
Aww.
So Geekish Cast, our buddy Jeremy, He finally got around to reviewing our show. He says, I'm a huge fan of Friday the 13th, especially parts 1 through 4. I love this show. It's kind of like hanging out with a bunch of horror fans and having shots while rewatching old favorites. Well, I drink beer, so I don't know what you're talking about with shots. He gave us a 5-star.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah,
thank
man.
You very much.
Thank you.
Well, thank you kindly.
Mac Nez, he's been a follower on Twitter for a long time. He gave us a 5-star review. He says, you guys fucking rock. You guys rock on so many levels. Love listening to all your theories and the hijinks amongst you. Keep up all the good work, and I'll keep listening. Loyal listener, Mac Nez.
And thank you, sir.
Yeah, man.
Very much appreciated.
Well, like we always say, it's the people like that that we do the show for. You know, fuck Jim Elliott. We haven't said fuck Jim Elliott in a while, so
no
fuck
doubt.
Jim Elliott.
Fuck you, Jim Elliott. Right to your fucking core.
I think I'm going to skip the final thoughts segment because I think we all kind of agree on the majority of what was in the post. So I don't really feel the need to rehash all that stuff again.
Stop hating on Rick.
Yeah, stop hating on Rick. No, don't stop hating on Rick. Fuck
no, no,
Rick.
No, no, definitely
fuck Rick.
Stop.
He's a
no,
douche.
No, 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 don't fuck Rick. Let's not fuck. No, 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 no. She
oh,
should have.
Chris really didn't.
Yes, Chris really didn't.
She really should have.
All right. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever the fuck you listen to the show. If you want to support us financially, head over to campbloodpodcast.com/donate. If you have a question or a theory, you can hit us up at campbloodpodcast.com/feedback or leave a comment on the show notes at campbloodpodcast.com/50. A special thanks goes out to the Downriver Rat for our intro and outro music. You can check out his stuff at thedownriverrat.com. Until next time.